Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
We witches three have gathered once again for the 19th time at the end of the weird path in the weirder woods. We're gathered around a small fire and a medium-sized cauldron, because, you know, we're doing bigger spells these days, not just your standard bread bowl spells. And once we finish our spell, we will gather and fly off into the night on several seagulls.
Well,
that
what?
Is, no, we'll put one
hold,
foot,
hold
we'll
on,
each
hold
stand on two of them, and then
wait,
fly
oh, this is okay, so you're saying we're going to get, like, six seagulls? And
six
just,
or more, if they bring a couple extra, sure.
Like, just a flock of seagulls?
A flock of
like
seagulls.
Like a band? Is like that what you're going for?
Nothing wrong with that band.
Why not just a broom? One broom per person, three brooms total.
Brooms are for sweeping.
No,
like,
they're
is,
for
I'm trying to, like, be fun. This is a fun. Maybe there'll be more birds. We can rest our hands. We'll get them some
rest
bread.
Our hands.
We'll rest now our hands.
How tired do your hands
bird.
Get on a regular basis?
I'm always doing spells, like waving
oh,
my fingers.
I guess that's fair. My hands do get
we'll
tired
have
for this
bread. We can well. Feed them bread, and they'll be like scream, scream.
Let me ask you a question. How are we going to clean up the bread we drop? With a broom! With a broom! You need a broom! Hey, everybody, I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And you are listening to the Chilling Podcast of Sabrina. We're going to be talking about Chapter 19, The Mandrake, the second-to-last episode Ooh. Of the first season of Chilling.
Second season.
First season.
Second
of
season.
Part 2 of Chilling Adventures of
season
Sabrina.
Season 2, Episode 8. Chapter 19.
Oh, Pete, you've been gone the past couple of episodes, and I've really missed this number-based banter.
Miss you
we
too,
have.
Buddy!
Yeah, this is what I call banter.
Oh, boy. So, lots of stuff going down this episode. A very big episode. We have talked, I'm sure you've listened to all the podcasts, Pete, just to give you
yeah, definitely, yeah, definitely have.
We've been talking about how this has felt like the second-to-last episode of the season for the past couple of episodes. It's
oh
just
my
been
God.
Building and building and building and building. But this one definitively is.
Well, let me say also, this one didn't feel like a second-to-last episode until sort of a twist at the end, and then it did.
Right.
So they've really kept us off our game here.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the recap for the episode, since there's lots of stuff to talk about. So, Sabrina Spellman, half human, half witch, except she found out a little wrinkle after she got overpowered after dying in the previous episode. She may or may not be the harbinger of Satan. The apocalypse is coming. They found a picture of Sabrina made in a mosaic in a mine, as we all know. If you see anything tile-based, it's a prophecy.
100%. Oh, I know, yeah.
Especially if it's in shaft number 13.
I'm trying to do a backsplash, and it's all prophecies all the time I'm bumping into. You know, it's horrible.
So Sabrina was pretty upset about that. She found out about this along with her boyfriend, Nick Scratch, the bad boy of the show.
Oh, he is so bad. In this episode, he only gets badder.
Oh, my God.
I hope you guys have been tracking. The bad tracker has been great, going off the charts.
It really has. It's been all the way up to, like, 11. Right in the red zone there.
Exactly. The red conscientious zone, the most bad boy zone of them all. He's downright servile in this episode. And
yes. That's
bad boy times two.
So Nick Scratch is her boyfriend, except a little bit of a wrinkle as well this episode. Her ex-boyfriend, Harvey, ran up to her and said, "If you ever love me, come down," because he wanted to show her a bunch of tiles, as one does.
That's a... I was surprised that, like, that's something you yell when you want to get somebody's attention, right? I thought that was a smart move on Harvey's part, and now he has to answer a bunch of questions about it, which I don't think is fair.
If I said to you, Pete, if you've ever loved me, listen up, you'd be like, huh, no follow-up questions there. You wouldn't be like, hey, man, a minute ago you said, if I ever loved you.
Well, I think it's a great way to get somebody's attention.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is. It stopped her. But, yes, it literally stopped her.
You're right. It's a great way
to get
it. When
you were in class in high school, were you like, hey, real quick, teacher, if you ever loved me, what is the answer to that math problem?
No, that doesn't make sense because me and that teacher haven't had a relationship like that. But Harvey and Sabrina have.
Which teachers did you have a relationship with?
Renowned teacher dater, Peter Page. What, to Pete's point, though, like, It is a great way to gather attention.
Thank you, Justin.
But what I'm saying is that's a big thing to say. It's not just something you dash off just to be like.
Also, this is the middle of the recap, so let's get back on track.
Yes.
This affected a number of people. It affected Nick Scratch, who kind of noticed it happening. It also affected Harvey's current girlfriend, Roz.
Roz, yeah.
Now, Roz has a second site called The Cunning. Mm-hmm. Thank you for agreeing that her name was Roz, Pete.
Roz,
I appreciate
R-O-Z.
That.
So, fuck you, man. I was agreeing with what you were saying, not the fact. I wasn't fact checking you, you asshole.
Alex, right. If you ever loved me, finish this weekend.
So, Roz was recently.
I'll know. He never loved me.
He never loved you.
There's three of us together. We're getting a little rowdy. What's going on? A bunch of rowdy boys here.
We got some rowdy boys, which is like bad boys, but even badder.
Just messier. So to speak. So Roz was blind. She was healed by Sabrina when she had her Uber powers. Other human is Theo. Theo recently realized that he has been a boy all along. Mm-hmm. He wrestled with that a little bit, but ultimately came to an understanding that he is happy with who he is, and everybody else is happy as well. So that's the human side of things. On the witchy side of things, bunch of stuff going on.
Oh, man.
There is Aunt Hilda, who is Sabrina. His aunt been really stepping up the past couple of
coming
episodes.
Into her own.
Oh, yeah.
She's like the main character.
She's
of this
the
show.
Rock, baby. Holds it all together.
I agreed with you completely last episode, which you definitely listened to.
Yes. So Aunt Hilda has been really stepping up the past couple of episodes, but she's been very nervous about what's going on with Sabrina. Meanwhile, Aunt Zelda is dealing stuff with her own. She got married to Father Blackwood. Father Blackwood cast a spell on her to turn her into a Stepford wife. Essentially, she was broken out of that spell, but is undercover now pretending to be the Stepford wife while she is actually her usual sardonic Aunt Zelda self.
So great.
She, let's see, what else? She previously hid a baby in the woods with a wood witch. The wood
as
witch
you
who
do.
Eats babies. Yep. Not a problem, as it turns out.
No, exactly.
See? It's fine. You guys were way off the mark on that.
Yeah, but there must have been a lot of other babies to eat.
Right.
Because you can't.
Yeah, it's like putting a bunch of candy in front of you, Pete.
Yeah.
Like, and be like, don't eat that lollipop.
Right, but if I got all their candy, I'm cool.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they provide. Eat this candy last. Eat this baby last.
Right.
Yeah. So there was a baby hid in the woods. She's named Letitia.
Letitia.
There is another baby, a twin brother named Judas, who is the child of Father Blackwood. She hid away the female baby because Father Blackwood is a raging misogynist who has tried to destroy the Church of Night. He was the title of anti-pope was taken away from him last episode,
Hell
but he
yeah.
is still hardcoring on the male-centric version of the Church of Night. We should also mention the statue of Baphomet, who was in the center of the Academy of the Unseen Arts, the witchy school that Sabrina and her other witch friends go to.
In Gehenna Station.
Gehenna Station was smashed. It was absolutely destroyed by a bunch of witch hunters a couple of episodes back. Other students that are probably important for you to know, the three weird sisters, Prudence, Agatha, and of course
Dorcas.
Nice. Oh, wow. That's really cute. Yeah. Dorcas celebration.
Prudence is the bastard child of Father Blackwood. She has been jockeying for his attention and his name over the past couple of episodes ever since she found out. He finally gave her the Blackwood name, and she's been going back and forth. In addition, the Weird Sisters have felt very uncomfortable with Sabrina's power-up. They've been kind of into it, but kind of not into it. The rest of the school, very into it, particularly because Sabrina has taken on her father's teachings and been preaching a human-witch joint society. She tried to reveal herself at the end of the last episode. That didn't quite pan out because of the aforementioned Harvey running up and shouting, if you ever love me. But she has recruited a bunch of people to her side, including Ezbeth.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't remember the name. It's Ezbeth.
Ezbeth
and Melvin, Dorcas's ex-boyfriend, I guess.
Oh, that's real generous to their relationship. Yeah. I would give you potential hookup.
Sure. The last character you probably want to know about is Miss Wardwell, a.k.a. Madam Satan, a.k.a. Lilith, a.k.a. the Mother of Monsters. She is the bride of the Dark Lord, and she's a little bit on the outs of the Dark Lord ever since the Dark Lord made her eat her boyfriend.
Well, they had a bet, never wager with your loved ones, that she lost, and then to follow that off, the Dark Lord ate her boyfriend Adam.
Well, you can't trust your crow, you know what I mean?
Can't trust birds. Yeah, birds be snitching.
Don't trust birds, eat your boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying,
I think.
So she accidentally ate her boyfriend Adam. She was pretty upset about that.
Accidentally at first, but I think she finished the meal.
Right. Well, he forced her. He actually forced her to finish the meal.
But she was hungry.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you have your boyfriend in front of you, unless there's a bunch of other boyfriends there, you're going to eat that boyfriend.
It smells great.
Yeah.
Well, devil, notable cook.
Yes. He spends a lot of time. He does, like, an extra dash of salt.
Yeah.
Which you got to do. Like, everybody undersalts their stuff.
It looked like sort of a boyfriend bourguignon.
Ooh, wow. That's nice. So that's the recap. Let's not forget...
Oh, Ambrose.
I always forget what person. Ambrose has been going through it the past couple of episodes. He is Sabrina's cousin. He was accused of killing the Antipope.
Falsely.
Well, I think he actually killed the Antipope.
He killed him, but he was being ratatouille. He was being ratatouille.
Yes. Oh, there you go. You do listen sometimes.
No, he.
I was there for that.
Oh, you were there for that one.
That's been an ongoing theory.
Yeah. Yeah. He loves.
Yes. Ambrose killed the Antipope against his will. He tried to kill Father Blackwood. He was cleared of his crimes through some shenanigans of Aunt Hilda and Sabrina. They managed to work it out. So Ambrose is back at home and back in time.
Yep.
Yeah. 100% definitely correct on that one.
Alex Zalbin in the news.
Yeah.
So we're into it. This episode, second to last, with the new gang starts off, which, as we know, is Sabrina, Roz, Theo, and Nick Scratch.
It was kind of really great to see them all sitting around
and
the
Harvey.
Harvey. Don't forget about Harv.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I liked that little gang. This definitely feels like a Riverdale-style gang of just, like, everyone's got a little bit in the mix.
And Harvey did his artist rendering.
Very helpful. Everybody's sitting around looking at his artist rendering of the mosaic. A lot of art going on this episode, and they're all pretty convinced. I do like that they reversed from a little bit from the end of the last episode, where Sabrina walked in and saw a mosaic and was like, well, I'm going to cause the apocalypse. I'm here to cause hell. And then they start this episode being like, it's a bunch of tiles, Sabrina. Let's pull it back a little bit. Yeah. I mean, even if she turns out being 100% correct.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they pulled back on that a little bit as we opened.
Mm-hmm. Great line that Nick Scratch has.
Oh, yeah. He calls him Harry.
Yeah. Total bad boy.
It's Harvey.
There's nothing more bad boy than getting someone's name slightly wrong.
Yes. He kind of goes back and forth between actual bad boy and not. But that was a bad boy line. I got to give you credit. I
wouldn't call it a bad boy.
Yeah. A rude boy.
Yeah. An impolite boy for 1 second.
But that's how he's dealing with the thing that Harvey said. Roz is dealing with it another way.
Yeah.
There's two great moments of this episode with Harvey, Roz, and Theo. The first one happens right here when Harvey goes outside. Roz comes up and is like, hey, did you mean what you said? And Theo's like, I'm gonna get out of here.
She's like, somebody hear that? Oh, someone's calling my name.
It was very funny.
Yeah. And then later on, when, spoiler, Harvey and Roz eventually make up and they kiss, and Roz says, I love you back, Theo is sitting there on the under the table, just very awkwardly drinking water.
Yeah.
So funny.
It's great.
Very good takes from the actor.
Very fun. Third wheel for Theo. What did you think about Harvey dropping the L-bomb?
That was a little soon.
I think it was a little soon.
I like Harvey and Roz together.
Me too.
I really enjoy them. But it kind of felt like, do you? What? I know a lot of time is bad. What do you mean, come on, man?
No, dude, they've been there for each other. They're, you know, that whole dance when they're making out and stuff. I thought it was earned. I thought it was earned.
I don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff hanging in the air for the Sabrina Harvey relationship.
Yeah, Sabrina and Harvey were endgame for a very long time. They're a very new relationship. I feel like they'd be more reticent to say I love you to each other, even if they're dating in real life.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, they are.
Harvey and Ross?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's another Bughead. That's what I think's going on. I'm going to throw my theory out at you guys, okay? I think what happened is they stuck Betty and Jughead together, and then they started dating. They're like, oh, yeah, this really works. And I think the same thing happened with Harvey and Ross. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that's how TV writing works. That's not how TV writing works.
That's how casting. That's how casting works.
They found love. Just let them find love.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going crazy. Okay.
They can be in love on their own time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think Harvey threw out love to fix the bad, the awkward situation.
Because he's a great dude.
No, because he is immature.
You think so? I disagree with that. Even though thought it was fast, I do think it was sincere because everything Harvey does is sincere.
Thank you.
I don't know.
It's a solid dude. That dude's a solid dude.
Do you think Harvey is becoming a little bit of a bad boy?
I think Harvey is a bit of a bad boy. We got a real bad boy battle.
Oh, man.
The battle of the bad boys.
Harvey is not a bad boy.
Good old Triple B going on.
Triple B. Let's get into, so we got Wardwell. She actually contributed to the main story this episode. She's been
sitting in her room, staring at her fireplace, been pretty upset for a while. Yeah. She ends up, last episode, right? She pulled out her rib.
She pulled out a rib.
I mean, that happens when you're sad over a breakup. You pull out one of your ribs.
Yeah. Right. And created a monster. We get to see a little bit more of the monster named Adam this episode. She controls it by... This is so gross. I don't know why this made me particularly uncomfortable.
It's like a little joystick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She sticks her hand inside of her own chest and like jiggles where her rib used to be in order to control him. That's very upsetting.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
It was cool. And so she also says her plan, which is to, because she's been fighting with the Dark Lord, her revenge is to kill Sabrina because she knows how important Sabrina is to his plans.
Right.
And Sabrina's sort of taking her place as the Dark Lord's bride, as we learn later in the episode. Feels a little roundabout.
Also,
I guess so. I mean, Miss Wardwell overall throughout this episode, we were talking about this, I think, actually, for the past couple of episodes. I think she's lost her rudder at this point, right? Like, she knew what she wanted. She watched the pageant that they did, realized how much she lost. The Dark Lord made her eat her boyfriend. She loved that boyfriend. There's been a lot of stuff going on with her, and I think now she's in a phase of just kind of lashing out in every direction any way she can, and that even comes down to the reversal that she does at the end of the episode.
Yeah, she definitely is a chaos agent, and I really like that. That's why it felt like, I mean, and I also like the idea that we have a, like sort of dual villains as we're going into this series, the season finale of like of Blackwood and Wardwell.
Yeah.
Both sort of the 1-2
but
punch.
I'm really happy we finally got the reveal. Sabrina finally realizing that Madame Satan's been the one pulling the strings the whole.
We'll get there in a second. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that in a moment.
But I also think, I mean, she's always so dubious of Blackwood and the Dark Lord, but so trusting of Wardwell. And that's just been...
Well, that's... Yeah, I mean, Sabrina busts in there with her boyfriend, Nick Scratch, and is like, hey, I got a new powers. You know, I want to tell you about that. You can't kill me right now. You know, probably want me to. But here's all the stuff that's happening with me. I'm like, God damn it, stop giving her all this information.
Right. Well, she already knows the information. I mean, as we've mentioned before, Sabrina barrels ahead with absolutely everything all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So to see her and Nick immediately go over to Miss Wardwell's place, Miss Wardwell be very arch about it and manipulate them into a situation where they get this mandrake root, or suggested to them they get a mandrake root that can suck out the power so that she will never become the Harbinger of Hell. The way that Michelle Gomez delivers the lines, there is no doubt if you were in that situation, you'd be like, something's fucked up with you right now.
You're evil.
Yes, you're lying to me 100% definitely. But it's great. Sabrina doesn't realize. Nick Scratch doesn't realize as well because they trust her implicitly.
Yeah, like all bad boys, Nick implicitly trusts everyone and does whatever they say.
Yep.
And there's a major bad boy alert right after that when Nick is asking Sabrina about her feelings, doing her favors, and making her promise not to do anything rash.
Yeah. She's like,
total
he's like,
bad
please,
boy.
Please don't do anything. I'm going to go do the research that you want.
Yep. I'll go to the library like you asked me to as a bad boy. and you just continue being you.
Yeah.
I did love the way they paced out that scene, though, because Nick Scratch is like, hey, Sabrina, don't do anything rash. Just wait and think about it. She's like, I promise. And then immediately cuts to a scene of her going to Ambrose, but like, the apocalypse is coming, but we can stop it if we do this crazy thing that absolutely is going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ambrose is like, and Ambrose's reaction of why does this always happen to you is great as well. Like, it was very winkly written episode.
Yeah. Here we go again.
Yeah, but I enjoy that. I mean, at this point, we're in the 19th episode. This has happened 19 different times.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to be like, ugh, okay.
But, and I like that this show, the tone of the show is so good for that because it's everyone's dealing with all these crazy things all the time. So of course everyone's like, okay, what do we do, Sabrina? What do we have to do now? What's your crazy scheme? Because she is always the center of attention because of the world.
Yeah,
yeah. I saw somebody writing online, which I thought was a smart observation, that part of the reason a lot of the relationships in this show work is because of the focus on Sabrina. Like, that it isn't this group ensemble so you feel like people are getting lost. It's no matter what, the show is about Sabrina. Everybody relates to Sabrina. They do have their own things going on. But ultimately, it comes back to her that gives us this very, very nice focus.
Yeah.
And I think that's good.
Yeah, she's the spoke that the wheel of characters roll around.
There you go. That's exactly how I'd describe it as well. Okay. So she and Ambrose make this plan to get the Mandrake root that will suck out all of her powers. They go downstairs to the mortuary, put her on the table. She needs to sleep next to the Mandrake root that looks surprisingly like a tiny little human doll.
Yeah, cool. It's the carrot.
That's fucked up.
And Ambrose is like, gotta stay awake all night. Definitely watch what's going on. Immediately falls asleep. And when they wake up, nothing's happened. Nothing's happened with the Mandrake root.
So, let's go make a mud baby.
Let's go make a mud golem.
But let's make a mud golem with mud from the Sweetwater River.
Yes, the same river that kills Riverdale people.
Right.
Yes.
Also, it got Fizzle Rocks in there as well. I mean, that's dangerous mud to be forming a human out of.
Just
now, wait, while
it.
We're staying on Easter eggs for a second, I want to ask you guys something, because this has been popping around quite a bit about the series, and it really did not strike me the same way as it struck a lot of Riverdale fans. But if you are watching Riverdale this season, you know there's this whole thing with a character called the Gargoyle King. In order to pay tribute to the Gargoyle King, you die, which is called ascending. So essentially, we don't quite understand it yet, but you could be with the Gargoyle King in the afterlife or whatever is going to go on. They use the word ascend a bunch of times in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and a lot of people have been writing up, oh, that is a clear connection. The design of the Dark Lord is just like the Gargoyle King. We're going to find out this is all connected at the end of the season with Riverdale. My impression is, no, it's just a word, and they're using a similar word because you use that word in these types of stories. What's your guys' take?
Yeah, I agree. It's not one big... I think it's just that's a word that is used in religion and spirituality, and that it happens Riverdale is dealing with sort of a dark religion, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, I started speculating about, like, it would be fun if this season of Riverdale ended after they complete the whole Gargoyle Gang thing and the whole farm plotline and all of that. Archie's wandering through the woods lost, and, you know, you hear somebody be like, hey, you look like you're lost, and they turn around, and it's Sabrina. She's like, I'm Sabrina Spellman. Nice to meet you. And you end the season that way. That would be fun.
That would be a cool, I don't know about, if you end the season, then you're expecting the next season to be about that.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know if I want that, but a quick little sidebar, a quick little moment, that, like a post-credit sequence.
That would be great. That would be absolutely great. But that's kind of all the connection. We talked about this the last episode, I think.
Yeah.
That's really all I want to see. Like, I'm fine with it being messily connected. Yeah. I don't need explicit back and forth between the shows.
But on the other side, you could see, like, the Gargoyle King being an actual thing in Sabrina's world.
Yes, right. Absolutely. That you could bring it back. You could have a real non-stick monster Gargoyle King on an episode of Sabrina.
Or at least a toss-away joke of them making fun of the idea of people worshiping a Gargoyle King.
Right.
Like, I think that would be sort of a...
Absolutely. And I will mention, to jump ahead, there is one more bigger Easter egg in this episode, which is, like, blink and you miss it. I guess we can jump ahead and talk about, like, they head off to the Sweetwater River to do the Mud Golem. Meanwhile, Aunt Hilda is puttering around the house, goes upstairs, and discovers Sabrina there. And it's a very chipper, very earnest Sabrina.
It's the carrot Sabrina.
Yes, we don't know this yet.
Yeah. Right.
We don't know this yet, but it is, in fact, the Mandrake that has absorbed Serena's powers, this whole invasion of the body snatchers thing. And she says, ooh, make me some blueberry pancakes. I really want blueberry pancakes. Go downstairs, has them covered in maple syrup. The maple syrup is Blossom Maple Farms maple syrup.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah, yeah, it was Blossom Maple Farms. Oh, which
I missed that.
Makes sense. The Blossom family controls the maple farms, the main export of Riverdale to most of upstate New York, presumably. So, of course, they'd have it in Greendale.
Of course.
Of course.
Great stuff. One thing we jumped past, Sabrina said she loves Nick.
She does.
Because she loves him.
Yes, everybody loves everybody.
Well, she kind of said, you know, I think I love him.
She says she loves him. So she used the L word. Is it telling that we have Harvey saying he loves Roz and Sabrina saying she loves him? I think they're moving
on, right? Yeah. Honestly, I bought the Sabrina Nick thing a little more because we've seen more of that. But that doesn't mean that stuff hasn't been happening with Harvey and Roz off screen that we haven't seen.
I got real excited, though, that like drunk Nick was going to be a real douchebag and that was going to break up the relationship, but it didn't.
No, nope. Scratchman is strong.
Yeah, Scratch got his shit together and took care of business.
Scratchman, much stronger than Kiki Spells. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, no, definitely. Moving over to the Church of Night, we see this Blackwood created a cool new statue, which is Judas.
Yep. Yeah.
And now the school is a straight up misogynistic nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
This was wild. Prudence challenged Blackwood a little bit here. Yeah. Prudence's story this episode was a little bit all over the place, but I thought it was great. Really putting her through a bunch of different choices.
It's kind of frustrating though, because Prudence is strong badass, and then like sometimes she's not, and then sometimes she is.
But
and then
people are complicated. I mean, I buy it because I think a lot of what's going on and a lot of what they're playing with this episode is both explicit and not quite as explicit misogyny in terms of there's a lot of gaslighting going on, particularly with Prudence that is happening, where she is craving her father's approval. She wants her father's approval. She thinks she can get in. He even tells her, you're special, you're different, which is a very clear, it's abuser language. Like, that's what he is doing with her. He's abusing her mentally, if not physically. And he tells her, you're special, you're different, you're not going to have to play by these rules, we'll treat you well. He even says the same thing about her little sister later on, which is, we'll get to that, but the breaking point with her. But that's what reels her in. That's what completely gets her on the hook, line, and sinker, even if when... As Zelda calls her out on and says, you see what's going on here. You see what's happening. They're pushing down the witches in favor of the warlocks. This is going to happen to you eventually. Yeah. But Prudence, because Father Blackwood has repeatedly told her that she is special, again, abuser language, reinforcing that, all of that, it gets stuck in her. She thinks that she is special. She thinks that she is going to be driven. But ultimately, Father Blackwood is out for himself. He's out for the men, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue that the same thing's happening with Miss Wardwell, with the Dark Lord has been abusing her forever, and now she is taking that anger out on Sabrina as opposed to facing her abuser directly as well.
Yeah. And I don't know how the writing staff on the show splits between men and women, but that seems like a pretty typical thing, right? That you have men abuse women and then women take it out on other women instead of taking back on men. And hopefully that's where the season is going to head by the end of the season.
It definitely feels that way, especially like this episode is a strong... The way that Blackwood talks about the way the school's going to be run now, I was like, the theme here is definitely moving into this misogyny direction, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about... Auntie Z pulling knives on motherfuckers?
We're not quite there yet. Let's talk. We will be. Let's talk about... So the Mandrake Sabrina. Carrot Sabrina. Sorry, that's definitely the real term. She goes to each of Sabrina's friends and is sort of shaken up those relationships. She goes to Harvey and is like, I want you to love me. We love each other. Harvey's like, what?
I have the necklace.
And then boom.
That actually sold me more on Harvey saying I love you and being earnest about it than anything else. The fact that he rejected Sabrina there or Carrot Sabrina, I guess. That made me think it was real. what's going on with him?
His not love.
Yeah, his not love.
Yeah.
But then she has...
So many songs about not love being ruined.
Right. She makes a gross tree sound, and her eyes turn all white, and Harvey looks surprised, as he always does, and we move on from there.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with Harvey. Okay. I guess we'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe their relationship is over. Mandrake, Carrot Sabrina goes to see Roz, and Roz uses her cunning and is like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
We actually get to see the flashback of what the Mandrake did to fool everybody, and I thought that was cool that we only saw it in that flash.
Yeah,
that was great. I'm glad that we got that. I also was, like, really worried that if Roz got her sight back, she also would lose her cunning, so I'm glad that she still has the cunning because I was worried about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good move to keep it. It's a good move to have... Theo have his ghost relative. It's a good move to, I guess, Harvey has his gun or his art or whatever he has.
His art, know. Man.
His and art.
The ultimate earnest. Weapon.
His supernatural superpower is his art.
Yeah.
And his, the and his earnest.
Oh, you know, his earnestness.
He's going to pound that earnestness into a flaming sword.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then Carrot Sabrina goes to Theo, who Theo's like, get the fuck out of here.
Theo's well, like, yo.
That was... definitely the harshest one of
yes.
all, because Carrot Sabrina is like, I'll turn you into a real boy. And Theo's like, I'm fine with myself.
Yeah.
I am okay.
It was good.
Yeah. It was very well written. It was very well played, that scene. And then, unfortunately, Theo gets zapped as well by Carrot Sabrina. Mm-hmm. And we don't get to see what happens for them for a little while.
Yeah. Which was, we'll get to that in a little bit, I guess. So the on the other side of town, the Scarecrow monster is going after Sabrina.
Yeah, she gets back and is dirty from trying to have a mud baby, and then she's like, "Yo, Nick Scratch, wait for me here. I'm just gonna go, you know, take a bath real quick."
That I mean, I don't know about you guys. I take showers instead of baths. But
oh, cool. Well, big time over here. Yeah. Wow, Mr. Shower Money.
I don't want to speak out of turn here.
Wow, you have the money to flip the lever on your faucet to go to shower?
Yes, I do.
I got to put in a...
I have a man that does that for me.
Oh, wow. Cool. It was weird that like she took the time to have a bath.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. She only does baths.
I'm going to clean up real quick. I'm going to take a long, luxurious bath in my bathtub. Come on, man.
Hey, that takes scratch.
Even fill it off the tub. That takes time. Like, just you got a guy waiting downstairs. The apocalypse is about to happen. You don't have time for a bath.
Well, de-stress.
Wash off your face and keep going. That's all I'm saying.
Nice. She does take a bath. She's super relaxed. And that's when the Scarecrow Monster shows up. She doesn't have her powers, which is a big indicator that the Mandrake did work.
Also, it was like kind of weird that she was like, yo, is that you, Nick Scratch, and my... mom or aunt's sheets, which is kind of a weird
That was a Halloween reference, right? Like it was in the movie Halloween, I think Michael Myers comes in with a sheet at some point. I may be getting the horror movie wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, comes in the sheet, takes off the sheet. Turns out it's Adam the monster, attacks Sabrina. Nick Scratch comes in, saves her by taking the rib out.
I was also didn't look. Nick Scratch didn't look.
Yeah, I know. He's a real bad boy.
Yeah.
Kept his eyes closed when his girlfriend, who he loves, was naked in front of him.
Yeah, I was surprised about a couple of things. First of all, I was surprised they made such a big deal about the monster Adam, and then he was taken out so easily. Second of all, I was surprised. I thought he was going to turn out to be Wesley Wyndham Price, Alexis Denisoff. I thought that was... his body under there, that's what we were going to see, but I guess not.
Also, no. I'm surprised how quickly Nick Scratch was able to find the one rib that was controlling him and then rip that out.
Well, sort of. I know. There's a hole there.
Right. Right, there's but like I mean, if you're being attacked by somebody, do you stop and look for like maybe a loose rib?
I'll look for a flaw.
Okay.
Look for a weak spot.
Whenever I go apple picking at the apple farm, I always go up to the scarecrows and I root around in there, see if there's any ribs.
Any ribs in here?
Just ribs.
I'm a little hungry.
Nick, once they got the little beast out of the way, Nick talks about the prophecy he found that is literally everything Sabrina has done.
Well, he takes that. Sabrina reveals that she has no powers. He ends up going to Miss Wardwell to talk to her. And that's when we find out, that's when he runs down the whole prophecy and talks about everything.
Well, they started in the house because
sure.
she has the book.
He's got the book. He's like, hey, just went and did all this research. Can I please tell you about it?
And Sabrina's like, okay, this is sort of pertinent. It's literally everything I've done for the first two parts of this show. And they put the pieces together about Wardwell, which I thought was great. And I thought it was really well done, the fact that the prophecy really collected all of the things that Sabrina had
and
done.
This is something, the way that
Sabrina
it was structured.
Being smart made me so happy.
Sabrina being smart, but also the writers being smart, because we've certainly asked a lot of questions about why is this happening? Why is this happening in the show? And they're bringing all of the pieces together very, very nicely throughout this. Mm-hmm. It's clear the way they've structured this, particularly towards the end of the episode, that it was very meticulously planned in terms of the season. It was all of the events, all of the things she did, not just the episodes leading up to this, which is great. I mean, I think that's something that you get a little easier with, say, a Netflix season of a show, where you're able to plan everything out in advance, really work on it, get the scripts down, and then tackle the filming.
Yeah.
Versus, say, a network thing where you're doing an entire season and things change and times change and whatever.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm very impressed with what they put together so far.
Yeah, it is. It feels like a full package, like it's what you're saying, top to bottom. I want to talk about this great scene between Zelda and Prudence. Esbeth, who was running to join Sabrina against Blackwood's new authoritarian rule, Blackwood's like, we should kill her. Everyone's like, yo, dude, chill. These rules went into effect an hour ago, and now we're murdering people?
Yep.
Esbeth gets thrown into the witch cell without any food. Zelda goes to give her food, and Prudence finds her. And they have a great scene about, like, it's going to come for you.
Yeah,
and
you'll be here too. Yeah. Don't be stupid.
And Zelda just being able to turn a situation where she's caught doing something that's going to get her into trouble and just like finding the way to get out of it, which
very
I thought
smart.
Was great.
Cool.
And Prudence sort of relents after she talks about the Letitia who's lost in the woods.
Right.
Or in the woods with the wood witch.
And then we see Father Blackwood in the office and Prudence is like, yo, she ratted everybody out, and Auntie Z goes at the knife with Prudence's throat with a knife, which was so badass.
Well,
like, you're going to trap me. I'll cut my way out of this fucker.
The important thing to mention, though, is that they got the baby back. They got Letitia back.
Whatever.
Father Blackwood knows about it now. He's super pissed off because he thought the baby was dead. And then, Zelda goes at Prudence with the knife. And there's this great, awful moment where Zelda says, I'll kill her. And Father Blackwood says, it's all right. I have another daughter.
I got to back him.
And that's when Prudence realizes that everything has gone wrong.
Yeah. Especially right after Prudence exposes Zelda and like totally betrays her. And then she gets betrayed by her father, who she's trying so hard to impress. Just the pendulum swing there was so good.
Well, my impression was that was Zelda's plan. She was never going to kill Prudence. She just wanted to reveal Father Blackwood to Prudence.
Right. Yeah, I don't think she would have killed Prudence.
Also, I also like this because, like, this really proves the reason Auntie Z took that baby out of this scenario, because Father Blackwood is just poison and awful, and that kid would have had a horrible life. So even giving it to a baby eater is a better life than Father Blackwood's life.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because he wants to marry the babies.
Yeah. Yeah.
He renames Letitia Judith and and eventually she will marry her
brother.
Which
was like fucking needle scratch moment. I'm like, what the fuck?
I would never watch a show where that happens except for Game of Thrones to die. Die watching that.
Oh, man. I ship Jaime and Cersei so hard.
Okay, guys, let's not get distracted.
They're going to have a baby
together. This is really fucked up. That's a fucked up moment.
It's really cute.
Father Blackwood.
Things I do for love, you know?
Babies having babies.
Yeah. Would you go to a baby wedding? Like, let's say two babies were getting married. Would you, and you were invited, and it was, say, friends of yours?
You can't.
Would you go to it?
No. That's an awful thing.
Okay, so you just, like, send a present and you regret
or
something?
No, I would send a bomb. And blow up the parents, because that's so
fucked
up.
When you say a bomb, do you mean like a cartoon bomb?
Yeah, no. That, honestly, when you said that, I legit pictured a big round bomb with a fuse that you light and throw like a Mario Brother villain. So I guess that's what I think of you. You're a giant bullet. You're a terrifying cartoon man.
Yep.
Equal parts terrifying and cartoon.
Yes. You'd eat a couple of mushrooms, cart over there, and throw your bob.
Uh-oh. Yep. Pete looks like he just stepped on a star. He's going to run right through us. Great. So let's talk about Hilda's stuff, because she goes to confront the council and is like, hey, Blackwood is crazy. We need to stop this. The council's like, let him do what he wants. And she tells him off.
Great scene.
I thought, because the council member was being so creepy, I thought maybe it was Father Blackwood pretending to be this council member.
Right. Well, first, though, there is this scene where Anne Hilda confronts them,
yeah,
and she turns around and calls them on their misogyny. She yeah. calls them on being part of the patriarchy, yeah. literally.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of what has been going on has been building to this. Her repudiating the church, her denying them, her turning them down, and it's great. Like,
yeah,
she has been standing up against everybody one after another, and I'm very excited to see what the show does with her going forward. You know, now
she's fantastic.
I know we have one more episode, but now that we're at this point with Hilda where she is her own woman, she is owning her sexuality, her femininity, everything else, what is she going to be like in the future? I think that's fun to see.
Yeah,
exactly. Especially, like, that's sort of what Zelda does.
Uh-huh.
So, like, Hilda and Zelda's land a little bit will be interesting.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then, as Pete mentioned, cigarette smoking man, aka Methuselah,
aka Metal Doily Neck.
Yeah, comes, sits down with her and says, listen, I was just putting on airs for the council. Really, I'm total agree with you. Father Blackwood is out of control. Let's bring him to his knees. Speaking of bringing things to their knees, what are you going to do for me?
Oh,
yeah.
So and awful and creepy.
She looks awkward and uncomfortable, but don't worry. She fed him two spiders.
That was so great. She was like, oh, speaking of members of the council, opens the door and there's like some dude covered and the spiders and spider webs. That was awesome.
It was for a scene that was like about sexual harassment and then murdering your harasser. It was done in a pretty like, look at this goof way. But yeah, it was great. And like we're saying, Hilda is definitely being quite powerful.
The best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So getting back to the Miss Wardwell stuff, after they realize that she has been behind everything the whole time, they run to confront her. They use the rib to freeze her, and Sabrina goes off to join up with Ambrose to figure out what to do about the fake Sabrina. Ambrose has just figured out that this is Carrot Sabrina, and Sabrina comes in, and they set up a little bit of a duel.
A duel.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, before that happened,
we got to get through all the carrot
there's
deaths.
Some from fun Carrot Sabrina stuff where she just straight up murders these warlocks that Blackwood sent, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then Carrot Sabrina is making mandrakes out of all of their human friends. Dorothea the ghost wakes up Theo, and Theo is like, shit. And just wrecks those vegetables.
Oh, dude. Theo
hates vegetables.
I loved Carrot Harvey. Was so ridiculous.
He was like, yeah, I'm basically Harvey.
Oh, come on. You watch your mouth. Man.
I'm like Harvey, just
no
moist.
No way, man. Dude, Harvey's line afterwards, he's like, I'm never going to eat vegetables again.
Yeah,
fantastic. Funny.
And then Roz is like, when did you ever eat vegetables?
Slam.
Very fair.
Burn.
He goes down to mines, he eats meat.
See, that relationship's so healthy, they can like burn each other like that and still be cool.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
That's super fun. Honestly, Mandrake Harvey, I'm down for him. Yeah. I'll take Carrot Harvey over regular Harvey.
I also want to say, we were talking about this last episode of the podcast, but Kiernan Shipka has been so fantastic these past couple of episodes,
yes,
and particularly this episode, playing the dual roles. She's great at Sabrina, but
so
also
good.
Carrot Sabrina, so funny. Like, it was such a funny, weird way that she played that. I loved seeing her play both of those sides of the scenes.
Yeah, it was really great.
Also, was anybody else worried that when Nick Scratch was alone with Madam Satan there? She was like, oh, hey, Nick Scratch, you just watch Madam Satan real quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to go take care of this other thing.
I definitely
like, this is not going to end well.
That he was going to be fooled by his bad boy ways.
Yeah. Because she got to, you know, she was like, read me what it says. I was like, Nick Scratch, don't read it to her. But it ended up being a positive thing.
It was a great time. Great connection point. What a twist. Speaking of twists, well, before we get to the twist, Roz says that she loves Harvey, making their relationship real.
Yeah, and then we had that fun third wheel drinking water. Like,
yes. So their relationship is real, and nothing will ever break it up, right? Prudence lets Zelda out, finishing her pendulum swing back to being on Zelda's side, saying we got to put a stop to this misogyny. Very cool. Mm-hmm. And I love this reveal of what the prophecy is. What Wardwell says, the final perversion is suicide. of coming back from the dead is suicide, meaning Sabrina would kill herself, or in this case, kill the Mandrake.
And I was worried when she said suicide, because Sabrina before was talking about, like, oh, is Carrot Me going to feel things? And I was like, is Sabrina going to, in the duel, like, shoot herself in the head?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Clearly that's not what happened, but they do
Sabrina
go out to do...
fucking cheated. Well, she cheated.
Yes. And so they go into the woods to do the duel. She ends up shooting the Mandrake at 9. The Mandrake's super sad about it.
It was at 8, motherfucker. It was 9.
8.5.
No, it was 8. Bam.
I think the Mandrake said 9.
What does it matter? What you're saying, did the extra second was cool?
No, I'm just saying, like, she was straight up. She was like, I'm cheating this motherfucker.
You're saying it's more fucked up to shoot at 8?
Yeah.
Than 9?
Yeah.
What about 7?
5?
5's even worse. 7's worse. Yeah.
No, I think it's better. If you're going to do it, why wait all the time?
Yeah.
Just do it at 3.
Do it at 1. One and shoot.
Yeah, turn around and shoot somebody in the back of the head.
More likely to hit if you're doing it at 1.
That's fucked up, though, that you don't think you can beat a Carrot version of you in a duel.
Yo, Carrots, they are strong. They give you eyesight.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's it.
Cool, but you don't think you can beat a Carrot in a duel? Some faith.
I'll tell you what. I have a bunch of carrots in my fridge. I don't touch them.
He doesn't fuck with them. They've been there for a long time. And honestly, one of them has his face. Carrot Alex is going to be in here hosting the show being like, Carrot hey, guys.
Hey, wait, how do we know it's really you?
Give me a hug.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you know it's Carrot Alex. He wants a hug.
So she shoots the Mandrake. The Mandrake dies. Very sad scene. She cradles the Mandrake. But Miss Wardwell does a little heel turn of her own where she realizes after Nick reads the entire prophecy, I don't know why she didn't realize this before, but not only is Sabrina going to open hell and bring the Dark Lord in his true form, but also she is going to sit by his side as his queen. So Miss Wardwell's like, all right, that's it. Come on. I'm turning around the apocalypse right now. Everybody out, and she and Nick run to the woods to try to stop Sabrina, but they're too late. We get some sweet old school graphics lightning, which was super fun.
Very cool.
Yes, Pete.
All right, so they've mentioned this a couple of times in the episode. They make it clear that true form. What does that mean? Is that going to mean it's going to be like instead of like half, you know, like half horse or half whatever? It's going to be like full horse, or are they going to go with like a human with the tail and the little pitchfork?
You're talking about Sabrina? Oh, the Dark Lord.
Yeah, he's going to turn into a horse.
They keep saying true form, and I'm like, well, what is that?
I mean, first of all, I'd say it is goat, but I think he'll probably go full horse next episode.
It's just going to be a horse?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, was that Dark Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Was that Dark Lord? You want to say? somebody give
Mr.
an apple Red? To the Dark Lord.
Yeah. Turns into
well, it's
Mr.
interesting.
Red
I was reading some spoilers about the last episode, and their peanut butter budget went way up.
Oh,
and that's how you get a horse to talk. You rub peanut butter on the wrist.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But wait, actually, wasn't that an urban legend about Mr. Ed?
Yeah, I think that's not true.
Yeah, he could actually talk.
Do you guys know what the Dark Lord's true form is?
I think Goatman, big dick.
same form, but his dick is bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Goatman, big dick. That's
my true form.
Yo, you think that's not a joke? That's what I think.
Well, I just wonder if they're saying true form because they don't want to have to keep putting all that makeup and shit on him, so it's just going to be human.
He's going to be a dude?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a dude.
He went through all of this so his dick could be like 2 inches bigger.
Well, that's definitely within the realm of possibility.
I think it's just going to be a dude.
It's not how big it is. It's
he's like,
using,
he
you know?
Betrayed his true lord because he's like, 2 inches? Yeah, I want it.
And God ripped off his wigs, threw him down, turned him into a goat man.
What do you
or
think
a horse man, if you will.
One inch per
what
wing.
Is the, what do you think the true form is?
I think probably a horse with a big dick.
Yeah. So you mean a horse?
Yeah.
A regular
horse.
Oh, my God. You don't think it's going to be a dude, just a dude?
What are you worried about?
Well, they kept saying, like, his true form is true form.
Are you worried it's going to be you?
What?
What if it's you?
Yeah. It's
I'm not worried it's gonna be
again
me.
This is a little bit of a spoiler, but I saw the next episode is a mirror. Just it's a mirror and you're gonna look into it, it'll be like, hey man,
his true form is a mirror.
It's a mirror, and it turns out the whole thing was a season of Black Mirror.
Oh,
whoa.
That would be crazy.
I don't know if you guys realize this, but the Black Mirror, when you turn off the TV, it kind of looks like a Black Mirror a little
oh
bit.
Oh my God, what is
it's
happening?
It's pretty weird, right?
What is happening? Right
also now? Phones, like most digital devices now
digital,
that I think
yeah,
about it.
That's true.
Yeah. Huh.
So I'm going to do some research.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem right, though.
Put a pin in that.
Doesn't really track.
So do you think the next episode is going to pick up right in the lightning storm, or are we going to have like a flashback and then deal with this?
I don't know. What else do you want to talk about with the episode? Anything else other than horses with big dicks?
I covered my notes. That's all I had written is that. Say the horse stuff. I did.
In this episode, which witch reigns supreme? Pete, because you haven't been here the past couple of episodes, we'll start with you. Which witch reigns supreme?
I'm going to say Hilda. She's fantastic, and I love how badass she is.
You're like the tears of a clown over here. Why are you so? You got so sad?
Well, no, I think she's amazing, and I'm very happy with how far she's come and how all the great stuff she got to do.
Okay.
Cool. That's great. What so about Ernest, you,
you're
Justin?
Definitely the Harvey of the podcast. I'm going to go with Carrot Sabrina.
Carrot Sabrina. I was going to go with Carrot Sabrina too.
So
just
good.
Love someone who liked, wants hugs.
To your point, I was going to say this as well. Kieran Shipka's acting, it was so good, especially as Carrot Sabrina. I thought it was awesome. It was great. What an arc to go from being born to doing all this sort of fucked up, rattling stuff, and to then die in the truly heartfelt way. Great one episode character arc. Carrot Sabrina for life.
All right, since you took Carrot Sabrina, I think for this episode, I'm going to go with Dorcas. Dorcas, really, she didn't appear on screen necessarily.
No, she did. She was in the...
No, she was not in this episode at all.
But
you think they could have made Dorcas as Beth that saved themselves.
Possibly, or something. Yeah, like doubled up a little bit.
Yeah.
But she really powered Prudence. Prudence gave that whole speech, I can't leave my sisters, particularly Dorcas. Agatha, yeah. I could take or leave, to be honest with you.
Well, it was very funny when it was like, I can't leave my sisters, and even Zelda was like, oh, Letitia? No, she'll be fine. She was like, no, those other characters I'm always around, Dorcas and the other one.
No, but Carrot Sabrina also. Kieran Shipka was great in that role. So much fun. I'm sad she got shot and pulped at the end.
Could be a spinoff. Right.
Before we go...
CRISPR drawer, and there's your own Carrot Sabrina.
Oh, man.
There's a little Carrot Sabrina inside of all of us.
Exactly.
If you'd like to support the show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in Loft in New York. Come on by. We'll cast a witchy spell on you. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live and at Riverdale Dark.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. Also, of course, let us know how big Horace's dick is going to show up.
Definitely.
Next
hand,
episode.
Hand Come measure on, it.
Yeah.
Just stop talking.
What the fuck?